Hi, Phil Aston here from Now Spinning Magazine with another episode of Chart Watch, new release news, and general music business chat, insight, and my thoughts on how the physical music market is going. And this is going out on YouTube and on the Now Spinning Magazine website, and also as the Now Spinning Magazine podcast as well. So welcome to all my new viewers and listeners, wherever you may be. I'm going to start with the UK album chart because it's quite interesting this week. It's always interesting every week, actually, but this week especially, because at number one is a band called The Raytons with What's Rock and Roll. Now, any band, anybody that uses the phrase rock and roll is going to get my attention, because it just does. But this band have done incredibly well. They're number one in the album charts, with sales of 12,252, of which 10,455 were physical album sales, and I'll break that down in a minute. But what makes this band so special in this achievement is their motto is no backing, no label or Raytons. They are proudly independent. They're from South Yorkshire. They are completely unsigned. They have no backing whatsoever. They have done all of this completely on their own. The success of What's Rock and Roll is also triumphant marketing, with headline sales of 4,131 CDs, 5,430 vinyl albums, 894 cassettes, 1,039 digital downloads, and 758 sales equivalent streams, giving them some total of, well, as I said, 12,252. I also have to mention, because their marketing campaign and the way that the support they've got from their fan base is absolutely incredible. They had signed editions, exclusive artwork, colour variations, gatefold sleeves, deluxe podcast edition of the album with commentaries on every track. There were 32 separate versions of the set with 16 CDs, 9 vinyl versions, 5 cassette versions and 2 digital versions. Wow, absolutely fantastic. So well done to them. And I've listened to the album and I love it. I absolutely love it. My favourite tracks are the opening 15 minutes into the Algorithm and Avalanche, which reminds me of the Undertones from the late 70s. It's really great rock and roll album. Lots of loud guitars, and it's fantastic to see a band at the top of the charts as well. Nothing against solo artists, etc., but it's great to see rock and roll at the top of the album charts, and especially from a band who've got no backing. They're not with any label. This is just done on their own. This is incredible to think that, yes, the challenges to making a living as a musician are huge, and I'm going to mention some of the challenges in a second, but the fact that they've done this all on their own, you know, with their own fan base. And if you look on their social media channels, you're probably thinking, you know, they must have millions of supporters and followers, and except they don't. They don't, actually. It's quite, you know, smallish numbers, you know, but those people are completely engaged with them. You know, the way they talk, you know, to their fans, and the engagement they get, you know, it's fantastic. And you even look at the number of streams they get on Spotify. It's not out the ballpark. It's actually quite modest. But the way that, you know, they pull this together shows that you don't have to have like millions of followers to be able to do this. And they've done it all on their own. So check them out. You know, they're worth supporting. Absolutely fantastic. The only other couple of things I want to mention in the UK album chart is Black Star Riders are in number 6. So if you're a Thin Lizzy fan, which I'm going to come on to in a moment, they're also a great band to follow. That number 6 with 6,364 sales. And talking of Thin Lizzy, now this is interesting, I feel. In 1979, Live and Dangerous hit number 2 for 3 weeks in the chart. And as you know, the super deluxe edition of this classic, iconic album has emerged. And literally in the Now Spinning Magazine Facebook group, every other post has been a picture of somebody showing this box set. It basically sold out in the first day or the first 2 days of release, you know, it is gone. I myself haven't been able to secure a copy at the time of recording this video. So I was almost certain that as I looked at the UK album charts, that Live and Dangerous would be battling its way up the top of the chart, especially when the numbers of sales to get to the top of the charts is not that high. As I've just said, Black Star Riders are in number 6 in the top 10 with 6,000 odd sales. So how has Live and Dangerous done? It didn't make it into the top 75. In fact, it stalled at number 86. And it stalled at 1,583 sales. Now, I don't know whether that's because the number of outlets that were, you know, ticking this off as it went over the counter, that many people bought it for a place where that didn't happen, but I don't think that would be the case. My only assumption is, and correct me if I'm wrong out there, all you record company execs and pluggers, is that there weren't that many pressed, and it sold out far faster than people thought. I know with the Rock Legends one, there was about 5,000, 7,000 pressed, and that sold out on the day of release. But this, to sell 1,583 at the time when everyone bought it, the pre-orders alone must have been in there, that it got to number 86 and it stalled. Now, maybe it came out and so we'll see it trickle up the following week, but my feeling is we won't. So that gives me a gut feeling that this has been pressed in quite low numbers. I mean, you cannot find it now. It was fantastically priced. But if this had been pressed in bigger numbers, this album would have gone right up, I reckon, into the top 10. Maybe, like I've said, up and down and gone the following week. But there's a lot of Thin Lizzy fans out there and people who are interested or just got into the band who would have bought this. And for days now, it's just not available anywhere. So whoever sat down and worked out how many we need to do, you need to do some more, I would say. Overall album sales are up 1.14% to 2,118,110. And so that's not bad. Physical products accounts for about 13% of overall album sales. So a bit lower than this time last year. But okay. Now, what do I want to talk about? I want to talk about the fact, I'm going to talk about streaming for a second, because this leads into something else I want to talk about. I think it was 18 months ago that Spotify said that 60,000 tracks were being uploaded every single day. It's now, as from last September, 100,000 tracks a day are uploaded. Now, how you stand out when you're a great, talented artist and band or solo artist, and you upload your track, how do you stand out from those other 999,099 tracks? It must be mind-blowingly difficult. I read someone from Warner Brothers saying that something like 70-80% of those tracks never get heard. And then another bunch of them will probably get heard about 50 times. You know, many people's artists have got, you know, accounts where they probably get less than 50 plays a month. And then you get the small slither, you get absolutely millions of streams, etc. So how do you stand out? And I think this is why physical media is so important to your strategy. And to who am I talking to? I'm talking to bands, artists, musicians, and I'm talking to the record labels. Because, you know, whether we're going to reach peak vinyl, as I'm going to talk about in a moment, or peak streaming, the streaming arena and how people consume music is very different. I was reading in Music Week, the latest edition, Miss Shania Twain on the front cover, and how the industry is starting to rethink when they use the phrase catalog. And when I use the phrase catalog myself, I'm talking about if I went through the album chart now, you'd see Queen, Fleetwood Mac, Elton John, all their best ofs, etc. And if you looked at the singles chart from the week before Christmas, it looks like a, now that's what I call Christmas compilation CD. Everything that's ever had anything to do with Christmas was in there. And those were not all released as singles. It's just music fans going on and thinking, oh, I think I want to listen to some Christmas stuff. And the algorithm did the rest. And that's the same what's happening now. The algorithm is doing the rest. So whatever people are listening to, if it thinks they now listen to Fleetwood Mac or Elton John or Led Zeppelin, those tracks, or Running Up the Hill by Kate Bush because they've gone and looked for the soundtrack for Stranger Things, you know, there it is. And that means that catalogue is now got far more value and could suddenly erupt into life. So catalogue was the kind of things that the record representatives will go out to the record shops and say, oh, this is an album that's 15 years old. You can have 5 copies for and sell them for 10 quid, whatever, you know, back catalogue, whatever. It was seen as like lesser because it was older. Not so much now, is it? Because it could suddenly, as I say, burst into life. And that in itself makes things trickier for new musicians. I myself remember being in a band and going down to the offices of Warner Brothers with my little demo tape, thinking I was doing really well. Well, I guess I was being invited to go and see the A&R at Warner Brothers. And at the time, it was a melodic rock band from Britain. And so I thought we were one of the best bands out of the area of the UK that I was in. And the guy from Warner Brothers said, well, how do you see yourself against Bon Jovi in Europe? I hadn't really thought about that. As far as I was concerned, I was competing against the people around me, my peer group of bands. But he was right. I was, for them to take us on, we would be competing against Bon Jovi in Europe at the time. This is the mid-80s. He didn't say you're competing against Slade or T-Rex or anything like that, or anything, because those bands were gone. That was like a decade earlier, and they'd faded away in terms of being around. What I'm getting at here is in 2023, no one has gone away. If you're in a rock band now, you are still competing against Bon Jovi in Europe. And in fact, you're also competing against Slade and T-Rex, because everything is available. And it's difficult. So saying earlier about 100,000 tracks uploaded, Bon Jovi got an award from Spotify last week for reaching 1 billion streams for Living on a Prayer. You can never catch up with that. He's always going to be ahead. And the fact is that people are streaming, 1 billion people are streaming that. That's lots of younger music fans who are finding Bon Jovi the first time. And the algorithm will be putting that song and that band out in front of people at every given moment it possibly can. And of course, as artists start to, legacy artists start to sell their back catalogues, you know, to just take the money, the labels, etc., are going to want that money back, and we're also going to see more and more catalogue music in films, TV, adverts, etc., making it even harder for new bands to break through. And of course, a new band hasn't just got the music to worry about. They've also got to be fantastic at social media, and they've got to be accessible 24 hours a day to talk to their fans, and they've got to be doing every, you know, reels and miniature videos and everything all the time. They can't just think, well, I've played my gig now, I'm going to disappear into my Mystic Mountain and the fan club will deal with anything like that. You're not now, you're out there. And the record labels don't really do that, which is why it brings back to the Rytons, who've done everything on their own. It's a great wake-up call for the whole business in many, many ways. So this is why I feel that physical media, whether it's 13%, 15%, 25% or 30% as it reached last year, is incredibly important for any band, for music, to get through the noise. It really, really is. And the record labels, of course, are very, very keen to put across that the way to do that, everyone, is through vinyl. Now, this channel sits on all formats. Now Spinning Magazine supports all physical music, no matter what format it comes out on. Do I have a favourite? If you actually said, come on, Philly, what is your favourite format? CD is my favourite format. I just love CDs. But I also love vinyl. So I buy vinyl for special releases or bands I really, really love. And I turn into multi-format guy. So Riverside album, I bought it on vinyl, and I'm probably also going to get the Super Deluxe Edition with the Blu-ray 5.1, etc. I'll probably do the whole thing. You know, I really will. 18 by Jeff Beck, who we sadly lost recently. This is the CD. A piece of card, no love. A bit like the way the record companies looked at vinyl in the late 80s, when all they cared about was CD. We've kind of gone back around in a circle on that. And I love this magazine. Hi, record collector, I'm a subscriber. I subscribe to the paper magazine and also the digital version. So no expense spared. And I buy everything from Record Collector magazine. Okay. And to be fair to Record Collector magazine, when they went through the late 80s and 90s, when all the pressure was on because everyone bought CD and not vinyl, they didn't rename themselves Record Collector and CD magazine. They just kept calling themselves Record Collector. But they are very much focused on vinyl, you know, without a doubt. And in this one alone, there are articles about vinyl outselling CDs. There's a fantastic article from Joe Giesing, who's one of the Now Spinning Magazine's finest collaborators and writers, who talks about the green credentials of the vinyl industry, which it needs to address. And then there's a massive article on vintage vinyl decks, and also about three or four pages on the latest vinyl releases heading inbound, which is great. But the CD needs, as I say, it needs to be loved. And not because I'm pitching one against the other. As those of you who know me and know this channel, I'm not doing that. But all of these figures about outselling in 35 years have been based on revenue. And I'm going to talk about this in a second. We have to recognise that. There's no point saying, oh, it's because it's worth more money. The music industry or any industry is based on commercial aspects of survival in economic downturn, whatever, and it's about money. It's always about money, okay? Even if you're a little band playing up there in a, you know, in your council flat wanting to break out, you're still thinking we need to make some money to buy some more guitar strings, okay? So there's nothing wrong about using the phrase money. However, which is the most popular format? Which do people go and buy the most in, you know, in the last year? The BPI in 2022. Vinyl sold 5.5 million discs, units, records across the counter. CDs was 11.6 million discs across the counter. Revenue, obviously, vinyl was 150 million, CDs 125 million. But in units, physical sales, the CD was obviously more popular in that respect. About 2-1. If you want. In Germany, the year before, in 2021, there were 4.5 million vinyl albums sold and 25.1 million CDs sold. Almost 5-1, isn't it? Again, revenue, maybe it must have been close, but the CD sold really well. In America, 2021, 39.7 million vinyl albums and 46.5 million CDs were sold. So still more CDs sold than vinyl, but obviously vinyl was worth more revenue. And as I've got to reference this as well, I think that because of the way journalism works now, it's all about clicks. And so the way things are written, it's meant to make you be outraged. What's that? I need to click on that, see what it is, clickbait. And the CD does not have the same kind of romantic association with tactile emotions that vinyl has, in as people look back through their rose-tinted glasses in many ways. And so saying that CDs still outsell vinyl isn't going to get as many clicks, and many of the publication advertisers are probably going to complain. But saying that, you know, CDs dying or vinyl is outselling for the first time in 35 years is going to get you inquisitive and get your material shared across the internet, in all over the place. Okay, so okay, this isn't about that, but like, as I've just shown, I bought the Riverside album and I bought the new UFO remaster of No Heavy Petting on 2 CD disc, because that's what I preferred to have. Okay, so what about the industry themselves? Now, I'm going to be talking to somebody from the industry, but not a record label, someone that actually presses the CDs and vinyl. And that's Karen Emanuel, the founder and CEO of Key Production Group. And I'm hoping to talk to her in about a week's time and talk to her about what it's like on the front line to be making physical music and how things are going. And I'm going to read out a quote from her, because I think this is really interesting. This is Karen Emanuel, the founder and CEO of Key Production Group. "This may sound controversial, but we may have reached peak vinyl, which means new trends will play out in 2023. We're hearing from some experts that records won't be released in so many format variants this year. So fewer colours of vinyl, and maybe no super deluxe option. Who knows, we may even return to liking the sound of the CD." Many of us still do, it must be said. And Karen goes on to say, "The number of CDs manufactured still far exceeds the number of vinyl records being pressed. And as I've just said from those figures, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because more CDs, more units of CDs are being sold across the counter. CD demand remains stronger than many may estimate. In 2021, CD sales stood at 98.3 million versus vinyl at 116 million. But CDs, you know, are cheaper to make than vinyl. You know, there's less issues with quality, etc. as well. And she says, as a result, Key Production is considering increasing its capacity for CD manufacturing. Hurrah! Not only are CDs cheaper and faster to make, but perhaps we've reached peak vinyl, and where our desire for the warmer analog sound of vinyl has reached its highest point." I think that's very, very true. And the other person I want to mention is Steve Bunyan, who's a catalogue music consultant who I've also worked with as well. And it says, "I was worried that we might have reached peak vinyl sales as the industry ran out of classic albums to re-release." Good point, but looking at the release schedules, I think we're somewhere off from that. But we're seeing, you know, 15 years of growth with albums and artists like Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, Midnights, etc., Harry's House, two biggest selling vinyl albums in the UK, heralding the arrival of a new generation of younger music fans are embracing the format. Very much so. So, I mean, so we are seeing, and as I am seeing on my own household with Lee, my youngest son, buying tons of vinyl as he also streams to discover things as well. But everybody has to be careful about not pricing vinyl too high or creating too many formats that smack of exploitation. And I think that is going to be a fine balancing act. And I will always call out things that I think are not done that well, like the projected Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon 50th anniversary box set. Well, I mean, if you look at that video, has there been any positive comments on that at all at this point? So it is about the money, as I said, but you have to be a balance, you know, that what is most popular, and then trying to force people because you make more money from this. This is your deluxe product, so I'm going to make you all buy this. Not everyone wants that. So the CD and vinyl will live harmoniously next to each other, and music fans will dip in to buy either one or the other or both. So don't try and break that, because it's a foolish thing to do. And the music business tried to do that in the late 80s by trying to destroy vinyl and make everyone buy CDs. And some ways you almost succeeded, but I don't think you'll succeed now, because this pot is smaller. It's more niche now. Music fans are more assertive in what we want, and you should actually probably talk to us more about what you're about to do, and that would probably help and get you gauge some idea of the print runs, etc. But CD is an incredibly popular format. In unit sales, it's far reach and overtakes vinyl on every level. Revenue, you're making more money on that, but there's lots of other thing issues around that as well. But both formats, think about your strategy as being as physical music, whatever that comes up with, whatever bundle you want to come up with signed photographs or, you know, whatever it is. But don't just think, oh, we're not going to do that all on CD. It's not coming out on CD. It's not worth it. It is worth it. And I think it's very foolish to actually think that we don't need a CD version of anything that comes out. You know, there are lots of reasons why I can say that, you know, what you should be doing on CD, because I've said before with CD box sets, why they are so popular. Anyway, I'm going to bring that bit now to a close, as I'm just going to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the new release area, and what's on my radar and what I'm going to be covering on this channel. Slade splatter vinyl sets are still continuing. I know they were going to stop after Slade's, but they're not. Hurrah! We have a splatter vinyl version of Nobody's Fools and the amazing Kamikaze Syndrome album. They are both out on the 3rd of March. The Stranglers 40th Anniversary Edition of Feline is coming out as a double album and a double CD set as well. Ian Hunter. I so hope I can get to talk to Ian Hunter. His album Defiance Part 1, that means it's part 2, is due soon, and it's got a fantastic lineup of people. It's Jeff Beck's on it, Johnny Depp, Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, Billy Gibbons, ZZ Top, Taylor Hawkins is on it from Foo Fighters, Duff McKagan, Guns N' Roses, Todd Rundgren, Slash. God, there's all sorts of people. We've even got Robert Trujillo from Metallica, What Do You Watch from Stevie Nicks, Brad Whiteford. Oh, it's just, it's going to be a dream. I've heard the title track as well, and it's Bed of Roses, and it sounds absolutely fantastic. Jethro Tull. It's like buses, isn't it? There's no album for ages, and then another one comes along straight after the last one. And this is Rock Flot. This is out. When's this one out? It's the 21st of April, 2023. I'm looking forward to that. And The Answer, another great UK rock band that needs more attention and more exposure. And I'm going to try and interview the guys soon. Living on the Line, a new single, was out on January the 27th. So give that a listen if you can. And I think that's everything I have. Oh, I do have a little bit of extra news. I've got on the podcast news, I'm obviously talking to Key Production about CD and vinyl production itself. And for interviews, the next one I've got coming up is with the legendary vocalist Sam Brown. So I'm really looking forward to that, and that I'm talking to on Friday, and that'll be out a couple of weeks afterwards. So thank you very much for watching. Thank you for being here. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for supporting Now Spinning Magazine by becoming a patron, joining the Facebook group, joining me on all the different platforms we are on. And remember, music is the healer. It is the doctor. Keep spinning those records and those CDs. Stay safe, and I shall talk to you very, very soon.